Hello everyone, my name is Joseph Corum, the producer of the Brad and Body podcast. This episode is going to be something different. It's going to be a crossfeed of Piranha Media's Time Out. Time Out normally features Body and Joey Wright, but due to Joey being away in the United States, Brad Rosen, who you're all familiar with, has stepped in. And as a result, a sort of surrogate Brad and Body podcast of sorts has been born, and you'll hear it now. If you like what you hear and want to listen to more of Time Out with Body and Joey, it's available weekly. Just go and follow Piranha Media on Facebook. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Welcome back to Time Out. I'm sorry we've been away for a little while, but we've had Joey Wright in the US. He's got married and taken the good wife to meet the family, so he'll be on his way back. In the meantime, this week's Time Out, I'm teaming up with my regular colleague from the Brad and Body podcast, Brad Rosen, the former Sydney Kings captain and media personality in Sydney. He's being brought to you in on Zoom thanks to MGA Insurance. Welcome, Brad. It's good to actually see you instead of just be doing it as an audio.
It's great to be here, Body. I know most people think we have great head for radio, but it's nice to be able to be seen. So this is fabulous.
Hey, it's so good to see you, mate. Let's talk quickly because there's a lot happening before we get to our first segment. What impressed you this week coming out of the NBL?
Oh, look, I mean, that finish in for the Kings against Brisbane, I mean, that dunk was phenomenal. Yeah. It was a great game. Both teams really needed to keep that winning streak. I think, you know, we've spoken a lot about it. Those teams are the most up-and-down teams in the NBL. And for them to be able to have a finish like that, I think it was great for the point guard to be able to do what he did. Yeah. The Kings are going to be bringing in another superstar. I don't know how that's going to work. Someone's going to lose minutes by having so many guards. But that was a finish. And there was a couple of other finishes as well. I thought they were great. Tasmania doing what they're doing. So really looking forward to this week. Can I add though? Some blockbuster games coming up. Really,
well, let's get right into it with tip-off, which is our first segment, which is sponsored by Nick Hodgson at Garden Master Sheds and Aviaries. All sheds are proudly made right here at Edwardstown. That's in Adelaide, Brad. I know you're in Sydney. You probably don't know where Edwardstown is, but it's very close nearby. Drop in and call Nick on...
I've even heard you guys have got running water now there, so yeah, it's fantastic, absolutely. Mate. Well, I'm so happy for you guys.
Not across all suburbs, but most, yeah.
Does it still run the same way down the drain? Or is it opposite?
I'll tell you what, you're going down the drain next year. So all right. Anyway, yeah, drop in and see Nick or you can call him on 8297-3666. Okay, let's get into it. We'll come back to what you were saying before a little bit later, but what about the Breakers against Cairns? You know, you're 26 points up, and basically they only got out of that because Scott Machado screwed up, really.
Well, it was. Cairns lost that game, without a doubt. Forget what happened in the first half. We've seen that happen, and you and I have been very vocal that teams are, you know, they're volatile at the moment with the up and down. But what a great halftime speech or whatever it was by Adam Ford, and didn't they come out and phenomenal? And then they blew it. They had a chance to win it. That last play was weird, is the best way to put it. And New Zealand, they just seem so up and down. But that Yanni Wetzel, man, I'm loving him. Yes. He is phenomenal. Yep. But yeah, Cairns blew that in a game they should have won in the position that they put themselves after a horrendous first half.
Yeah, but we've seen this a few times now. We're different. Yeah. Go to hero ball for the last play. And, you know, Scott Machado at his best, fine, go to him for that last play. But he's just coming back from injury. He's, you know, not up to the fitness level of everybody else. His minutes were managed in that game. And then for him to sort of say, oh, to still think that he's who he was maybe a season ago and to take that last play on. I mean, he fumbled the ball. The time sort of just, it ended up being a real mess. And they should have got out of that. Now, this is where I have a bit of a doubt now in my mind too over Illawarra as to whether they're legit, because they go to hero ball at the end of games as well. And I'm not sure that's always the best way to do it.
Well, unless you're Bryce Cotton, you shouldn't be doing hero ball, right? That's pretty much it, right? And we've seen this on a number of teams, not just a Machado team, right? Yeah. When teams are going for hero ball, it just doesn't work. And you might get away with one. You know, there'll be that one game that you get away with, but you're not going to get away with it through the seasons, and you're not going to go deep in the playoffs. I'm going to sort of take this a little bit to the left. This minutes restriction, I just hate. I just absolutely hate this minutes restriction. If a guy's ready, play him. I don't like this 4 minutes in, 4 minutes out. As a former coach of an ABA and assistant coach in the NBL, I don't know how the coaches do it. If they're ready, play him.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if they're not ready, it hurts the team. Sorry, bring him out 4 minutes. I look at that and think, if he played his normal game, would have he been like that at the end of the game? Well, I don't know.
That's a real valid point. Real valid point.
So I don't know. But the hero ball just doesn't work. It can't be left to a coach to have a timeout, to have to play that every time. Those games, those hero balls, they're practiced every week at training. If we're in this position with the 30 seconds or whatever it is, run this. I can't believe it just continues to happen, buddy.
Yeah. All right. Just before we end the segment and go to our first break, the effect of COVID and these other issues that are going on within the WNBL now, I see that Southside, your team with the New South Wales colours, the light blue, the girls you
There's
love.
A bit of flames in there now, mate. There's a bit of flames.
They're forfeiting. They're forfeiting their game against Canberra. This has never happened before. It's unprecedented to get a team at the top level to say, listen, we can't field a side. There was an issue with some of the Opals coming back from Serbia because they all had to be tested, obviously, for COVID, and only half the results came back. So only half the girls got on the plane, and three of the ones that were impacted were Southside players. So they're just arriving back in the country. They've got a couple out with injury and then illness, so they forfeited the game. Can you ever recall anything like
that? Never. No, never anything like that. I mean, games can be cancelled because, you know, whatever may happen, but not for the fact that someone says, we can't get a team. Look, you've been very vocal about this, and I backed you and 100% agree with you. It's been poorly managed, you know. It's been really difficult. But when I say poorly managed, I feel for the NBL. Like, I get it. Oh, sorry, the WNBL. I get it. It's not an easy scenario. And the NBL. It's not an easy scenario. But, you know, to see a team forfeit, that's just so hard. And there's no winners there. And I know we're in the position that we're in. But, you know, you've been, you know, maybe that league should have just stopped for a couple of weeks while the WNBL players went over and played for the Opals. You know, it just what you've been saying, and I think now is like the icing. Yeah, and here's the icing on the cake now.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, I hope you're enjoying this. This is what Brad and I usually get up to. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back. This is our popular Coach's Corner segment. Usually Joey Wright brings us a topic here. Today, Brad Rosen's going to bring us a topic. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Rise Above Adversity, with Cal McKinnon, helping athletes with the mental side of sports. We'll be having Cal in with us when Joey returns, but you can give him a call on 0402 121 959 to see how he can help your program with the mental side, the mental aspects of sport. So, thank you for Rise Above Adversity. And the topic we want to talk about here is, and this is a particularly pertinent one for you, Brad, how do coaches of top-end teams manage the rotation, subs, egos of the players when they're used to having a lot more minutes, like when they're sort of being phased out? Now, I know you can speak to this because you've already mentioned that you have coached at reasonably good levels and been an assistant coach to that quite famous fellow, Bill Tomlinson? Was it Billy?
That's the one. Yeah. Yep, Billy. Yeah. No, I'm not sure if you're aware, buddy, but it is Brian Gorge.
Oh, I'm aware. How many times have you told me?
It's well, that's the first in the last 5 minutes. But I think it's getting harder and harder. And the reason I say that is, you know, in this day and age, well, I'll go backwards. In the day and age that I was growing up, you know, you had your starting five. That starting five were guns. Mm. You played your starting five, and then players came off the bench and played a bench role, like me, right? You knew what your role was. And look, if things weren't going well or people had foul trouble, a couple of bench guys might be on at the end of the game, and that's it. But everyone knew their pecking order, if that's the right words. Yep. It's not like that now. There's three imports in a team. There's probably two, three, four Aussies in some teams that have played for the Boomers or are on the downside of their NBL career or whatever it may be, and everyone's got egos. It is a huge challenge. And for me, I remember Gorge, and we speak about Gorge. He always used to say 80% of his coaching is done before the ball gets thrown in the air.
Yeah.
Right? That extra 20% is game time. the way to manage this, it's all done off the court. It's having dinners, it's having lunches, it's talking to these players and making sure they understand their role. And when their role is right, this is what I've got to go with. You've got to be able to, as a coach, get across to a player, you've got to back me in those scenarios. I might make mistakes like players make mistakes, but sometimes I'm going to see it. At the end of the game, I'm going to put that guy in because this is what I'm looking at. Now, I look at James Duncan. He came out the other day and goes, yeah, I should have had a different guy on the bench, right? I should have had all of that. Oh, sorry, on the court for that free throw, for rebounding and things like that. Coach made the decision. He went with what he did, and he'll learn from it the next time. So the egos are driving. And let's be honest, like, you know, younger generation now, there is a bit of I in it, right? Oh, yeah. They want to, like, yeah, they want, they expect what they get. And it's so difficult. And I think a lot of it comes from the NBA. Yeah. You know, you look at the NBA and you see players come out and say, I want to be taking the last shot. It's name time. It's, you know, all of these things. Yeah, it's me. And these players think that at the end of the game, I've got to be the man because that's how I'm going to be the man. And I it's terrible. I don't agree with it, but it's so hard.
What about the fact that, you know, you were a role player, so you knew that there were certain scenarios where your skill set, this is my moment, it's coming up, I'm going to be heading into the game. So surely that's got to be some comfort to that player, knowing where he fits, as you said, the pecking order. So you reckon all that's gone now and we're just sort of flying blind?
I don't want to say it's gone because that's probably disrespectful to some of the coaches that it isn't gone with. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But I do believe that some coaches don't manage it like other coaches. And you look at, you know, a Gorgian, and I use him as an example. And
I'll probably put Dean. He's your favourite person. Yeah, the bromance has been going on for years.
And, sorry, you just cut out there, mate. I didn't hear you. Yeah. But, you know, I'll use Dean, you know, at Melbourne United as well, and Vickerman, that is, sorry. That they seem to be able to, you look at that team and they'll go, right, I know who the guy is that's going to get that. I know what my role is when I get into the game. Everyone knows at the end of the game in Melbourne, Chris Golding's going to get that ball. Now, if he doesn't, then there'll be counters to it. Right. But it's not like, well, let's see who does this and let's just run an on ball and see how we go. Mm. So to answer your question is, I think it comes back to the coach and they've got to make sure this is your role. Yes, I knew that when I went on the court, this was my role. Yeah. I've got 1, 2, 3 to look for. If that doesn't work, now you go.
Yep. Okay, beautiful. That's our coach's corner for this week. Let's move on to a far more interesting segment called Blowing the Whistle, where we're going to have a look at a few things. And it's sponsored by Alberta Station, which is a great place to stay at the foot of the Flinders Ranges. Jump on the website, albertastation.com.au, exactly as it sounds. Book your getaway today. Okay. Get into this. Let's talk about the you mentioned it earlier, the finishes. A couple of these finishes in the games last week were just diabolical. It's almost like teams go to sleep, or it seemed to be. Let's look first at the way the Bullets managed to steal victory from the 36ers, who had led by 10 points. And then we've got this play coming up. We'll just have a quick look at it, where Mitch McCarron makes maybe not the best pass in the world.
Ding, ding! And they're back! The Bullets.
This is new territory.
The turnover. Oh! LeBron with a statement.
Is back.
Well, this is Mitch McCarron. That's a hospital pass. That's not a good thing. You just throw it up there. Daniel Johnson.
Okay, now, I mean, I've seen worse than that. I've seen, I hate to mention it because he's a friend of ours, but Adam Gibson, when he was captain of the 36ers, I saw him with an inbounds pass up in Townsville when they were nursing a one-point lead, and he just threw a very bad cross-court pass, which Nick Kay picked off, who was playing for the Crocodiles at the time, and dunked.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it's a real bad way to go out. Yeah. But this was the same. I mean, you've seen Lamar Pazin come through and he's dunked. So have you ever had a moment like that, like when you were playing, where you just had this brain fart and just did something that you just normally would?
Well, obviously not. As a point guard, I never turned the ball over.
I've heard that about you. In fact, I think you're going to keep telling me that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really hard to turn the ball over when you're sitting on the bench, but that's a separate issue. But look, the obvious answer is absolutely. You know, you've been in those positions, and it's the worst feeling, and as players would know this, is as you go to pass the ball, you wish you could pull it back. Mm-hmm. And it's like in slow motion, and I know Mitch would have felt that as well. As soon as he threw, like, I've never seen a lob just so slow go to the opposition, and that is just so un-Mitch McCarron. Yeah. It's just, you know, you just don't see that. it just tells me, and I don't know, and it's not just Adelaide, by the way, it's other teams, as we know. It just tells me I don't know if coaches had enough time with their players, because I know when I was coaching, you would look and don't forget, these guys train 4 or 5 times a week if they can. And this is what I'm saying now with COVID, it's very difficult. You try and put your players in every situation they've got. Right, if we're 4 down with 2 minutes to go, this is what we're doing. Yep. You would be saying, right, I don't throw the ball in that lob pass. I have someone cut to the middle. I pass them. Then that person rolls and so on and so on. And we're seeing all these finishes and it looks like, you know, you can call it rat ball. That's what I call it. It just is not structured basketball. And I don't understand that when they're in that position, that plays aren't, our coaches are smart. Our coaches know what they're doing. And I just can't understand that we're not running sets and plays and have counters off that to be able to get. It just seems like, okay, play. And I just haven't seen that. It's just not, maybe it's more Americanized basketball body. I don't know, but it's not something I'm used to.
Well, let's have a look at the other one, the other classic finish. Now, Brisbane has got out of jail against Adelaide, and now Sydney, let's watch the last few seconds of that, how they get out of jail against Brisbane.
Tough day. Gets to the basket. Oh, my goodness, Jalen Adams. What a play.
So here it is. This is dunk of the year. Mark your books. That is disgusting for the game.
That is, have a look at this.
Oh my.
That is just, you still need to make this because 3 seconds is probably just a half a second too long.
He misses. Loose ball. Sydney get it back and win the game.
Are you kidding me?
Are you?
Jalen Adams is worth every dollar that they're paying him.
And then this, just everybody falling asleep thinking we're going to come up with the ball.
It was almost like they, Brisbane thought, oh, well, this is going to go in.
Now, that basket by Jurriel Martin, where were the Brisbane guys? Where were they? I mean, he was stark naked as the day he was born, just standing there with the easiest shot of the world.
And here's another example where players are just not switched on to the time and situation of the game. Yep. You know, like now, I know there was arguments, was that longer than 3 seconds? Probably. I don't know. Maybe the clock started a little bit later, but I've seen that happen before, you know, home courts, as they say. But whatever it is, whether it's 3 seconds or 4 seconds, they felt when that missed, oh, good, we're going to overtime. Yep. Man, we've all been told, play to the whistle, play to the whistle, box out. And I know I felt for James Duncan. He's like, oh, maybe I had the wrong players. No, there's one job you've got to do in that position, and that is box out in case he misses the free throw. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That's all you got to worry about.
Get
right?
that rebound.
And to be able to, yeah, absolutely. I thought, you know, Glover was the one that really started that by getting the tip. Why wasn't he, you know, he's a two-man. Why is he even getting his hand off? An athletic two-man, mind you, but he's that 2-3 man. He shouldn't have even been touching that ball. So, yeah, that's a loss they will blow.
I want to talk to you quickly about my fraud squad. Now, I believe that there is a fraud squad and that Brisbane is a foundation member. Adelaide 36ers are right there with them. Cairns, New Zealand. These are the teams that you just don't know what you're going to get from game to game. You know, you got, as I said, Brisbane steal a win, Brisbane throw away a win. You know, they're frauds. And I've had Sydney in that category too.
Yes.
But I think they've moved out. What do you reckon?
I agree with you.
But I think they've actually moved into the more consistent group.
Did you know I'm a Kings fan? Okay, I wasn't sure if you're aware of that.
I had a vague notion.
Yeah.
Are you wearing your purple and gold? Sure. No, you're not. Okay, excellent.
No, and I don't show my underwear on TV. But anyway, so I'll look at that. All I think of when I see that, don't ask me why, is Chris Gent and D-Mac. They're the two that I think of whenever I see that.
You know,
I know there's
funny,
other players. I love the Giants.
When I put it on, I think of Brett Brown for some weird and wonderful reason.
Okay, everyone has their... But then you start, then Mark Leader comes into it and all these, you know, like Darryl Pearce and all those other things. But still, they're the first two. Chris Gent, was he here 1, maybe 2 years?
One year.
Was it. But he just made that impact on me when I was younger and watching him play. I loved him. So anyway, getting back to the question...
Sydney's out? What about Illawarra?
Yeah.
Illawarra, are they teetering in the fraud squad?
I think they're both on the fence when it comes to that, but I think the other four are. I mean, you go back a few weeks ago, Sydney Kings are up 31-15 in the first quarter, lose 31-15 in the fourth quarter and lose the game. Brisbane, same thing. Then they come out 2 days later after beating Sydney, come to Sydney and lose by, 30, 40, whatever it was. A fraud. I agree with you. The one team that's not, that you think could be, is Tasmanian.
I love him.
I'm loving what Roth's doing. You know, it's fist pumping and everything. He's
because
down there doing.
For
I love
consistency,
it.
Brad. That's all you're looking
Absolutely.
For. And then they move out
Absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely.
And you know what you're going to get from them. They're going to give you effort. They're going to give you energy. And they're going to give you an honest performance.
So the only thing I'll add to this, this is where I bring back, and you and I have chatted a lot about this, the mental health and COVID and what it's doing to these people off the court.
Yep.
Right. You know, you look at a Brisbane, I use them as an example because I was at that game and watched them in Sydney. That didn't even look close to the team that played 48 hours prior to play Sydney. They look like a team. And I listened to a James Duncan timeout. Guys, you look like you're walking around on a Sunday afternoon. What's going on? And you just
what's
wonder
going
what's
on?
Going
they're
through
walking
these...
around on a Sunday afternoon. That's what
right.
exactly
and
what
And you just
doing.
Wonder what's going through these guys' brains and why they're in that position. So, and that is the biggest challenge that coaches have. And this is where they need to rely on their assistant coaches. Their assistant coaches are huge off the court.
Yep.
That's where, you know, that's where I think a Brisbane misses a CJ.
Yeah.
You know, he's great with those type of things.
Yeah,
and I'm not suggesting
this is where Brian Gorgian at Illawarra is missing you, Brad. And on that on that
look,
note,
I've told I tell him quite regularly.
let's go to a break before the bromance gets ridiculous, and we'll be back with our last segment in just a moment. Okay, thanks for joining us, and please get your friends to follow. Maybe even some of your enemies, they might enjoy it even more. Just get on and support Piranha Media as we keep building on our great numbers here. And Brad, your effort today, I think we're going our numbers will be going up again.
I am no Joey Wright. Let's just say
no,
that.
No, you're not. But if you follow Piranha Media, you can receive all their other sports like the AFL, community footy, all the racing codes, and when they start in March. In the meantime, here we are keeping you up to date with basketball on our last segment, which is Basketball USA is what it's called, Brad, where we talk about what's cooking in the American scene and maybe how that relates to us as well. Want to start off this. Obviously been some huge things. Let's start with the most positive one, and that was Josh Giddey. 28 points at Madison Square Garden in a triple-double, second in a row. Only other Aussie that's done that as a rookie is Ben Simmons, who we can also get to. But how well is Giddey going? Like, he's
unbelievable.
Just...
Yeah. Unbelievable. I read an article and where he just said, I had this, you know, dotted down in my diary because everyone knows about Madison
yes.
Square Garden.
Yes.
And, you know, that is just so pure of a young guy.
Yep.
You know, no ego, just like, nah, I'm coming in. I'm going, nah, I couldn't wait to get to Madison Square Garden. Mm. I love that. Just so raw. And I just put it down to his family. His family have brought up a beautiful human being,
yeah.
And he's showing that, and he's showing that right now. The way he is playing, I think we all expected him to do well. I don't think anyone expected him to do as well as he's doing.
No. Not
this quickly. Yeah. That's right, as well as he's doing right now. If he's not a lock for the Rookie of the Year, I don't know who is.
Right. Yeah, that's a fair point. Okay, the Ben Simmons trade from Philadelphia 76ers over to Brooklyn.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. What was that one?
Well, they traded him for James Harden. The beard has gone to Philadelphia. And, of course, this puts Ben Simmons together with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, but more importantly for us, I think, with Patty Mills, because I think Patty can start chewing his ear about the next World Championship and the next Olympics, which I don't reckon were even on his radar. But when you're playing with Patty, who's the leader of the Boomers culture, I reckon that's we can now maybe think that he might be wearing the green and gold.
I'd like to think in the back of my mind he would have seen how it helped Thibault.
Yeah.
And how Thibault was at the Olympics, who just went, you know, I mean, we all, I guess basketball lovers knew of him, but we never expected him to do and be the, like everywhere he is now. He's that Australian guy. You know, you see photos with him and Patty Mills. Thibault is just an Aussie now and we love it. So hopefully Ben has seen that. But look, right now, it's just about getting back. I sit here and think, who got the better trade? To me, it's no doubt it's Brooklyn. You're getting a young guy that can guard who's going to be so eager to do well around what they've got in that team. I think, you know, they've done phenomenal. And I hope, and I'm sure Ben Simmons, we just wanted to see him play.
Yep.
And now he'll play. And I think it's good. James Harden, like, I don't know, is he towards the end of his career? He's certainly not at the stage of what a Ben Simmons is.
Yep.
But I understand why they did what they had to do because, you know, they've got that time now. That window's there. They needed to go get that. But as for Brooklyn, I love the fact that Ben Simmons there. I saw him at training the other day and he's smiling and he looked happy.
It's good,
and I think it's fabulous. We just want to see the kid play.
Just want to close on Ian Clark to the Sydney Kings.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about him? I mean, obviously you're closer to that than any other team, seeing as you're always in the locker room. They've got the restraining order on you still, haven't they?
Yes, of course they do. Yes. So they hang my singlet. They burn my singlet. Oh, yeah. Look, he is a gun. He can play. He has played a number of games in the NBA. Ironically, he was part of the Golden State Warriors championship team that was actually with Andrew Bogut.
Right.
So that's where the connection is. And, of course, Bogues is a part owner of the Kings. So that's a fabulous get is the right words to use. I'm not sure how it fit in because, you know, you and I have said a number of times, I thought they needed a big man. I'm not saying I'm right. Mm. But they are a team that play that 4-5 out, people. So that if anything's going to suit them, I think it will. Just not sure where they're going to get the minutes. Does that mean a Sean Bruce?
Sean hasn't been going all that great lately, to be honest.
I agree, but he's also a good, like when he's on, you know what I mean? And then you got your Glovers, and I'm just not sure. Someone's going to obviously, this guy's got to take 25, 30 minutes. Where's that coming from? Now, you could argue they did have an off guard with that RJ Hunter, where he was supposed to be that role. So they're going back to what they were. Let's see how they go. But what I can say, he can hum. This guy's a good player.
Okay, I've got to wrap it up because they've gone beyond trying to wind us up. There's a producer now hanging from a beam in my house. It's a worry. So we're out. Great to have you on, Brad. Thanks very much for doing this. And for the rest of the, we will have, for Time Out viewers, we'll have Joey back next week, I believe. Until then, ciao.